objects by staring at them for a period of time and willing that they burn. Now, take for example the death gaze you are at this moment turning upon me. Is it not amazing how you keep this gift about you in all times and places over the centuries? I have often wondered as to the physiological basis for this phenomenon. Have you ever researched the area? Yes, said Yama, his eyes burning beneath his dark brows. And what is the explanation? A person is born with an abnormal brain. His psyche is later transferred to a normal one, and yet his abnormal abilities are not destroyed in the transfer. Why does this thing happen? Because you really have only one body image, which is electrical as well as chemical in nature. It begins immediately to modify its new physiological environment. The new body has much about it which it treats rather like a disease, attempting to cure it into being the old body. If the body which you now inhabit were to be made physically immortal, it would someday come to resemble your original body. How interesting. That is why the transferred power is weak at first, but grows stronger as you continue occupancy. That is why it is best to cultivate an attribute and perhaps to employ mechanical aids also. Well, that is something I have often wondered about. Thank you. By the way, keep trying with your death gaze. It is painful, you know. So that is something anyway. Now as to the sermon, a proud and arrogant man such as yourself, with an admittedly admirable quality of didacticism about him, was given to doing research in the area of a certain disfiguring and degenerative disease. One day, he contracted it himself. Since he had not yet developed a cure for the condition, he did take time out to regard himself in a mirror and say, "But on me it does look good." "You are such a man, Yama. You will not attempt to fight your condition. Rather, you are proud of it. You betrayed yourself in your fury, so I know that I speak the truth when I say that the name of your disease is Kali. You would not give power into the hands of the unworthy if that woman did not bid you do it. I knew her of old, and I am certain that she has not changed. She cannot love a man. She cares only for those who bring her gifts of chaos. If ever you cease to suit her purposes, she will put you aside, Death God. I do not say this because we are enemies, but rather as one man to another. I know. Believe me, I do. Perhaps it is unfortunate that you were never really young, Yama, and did not know your first love in the days of spring. The moral, therefore, of my sermon on this small mount is this. Even a mirror will not show you yourself if you do not wish to see. Cross her once to try the truth of my words, even in a small matter, and see how quickly she responds and in what fashion. What will you do if your own weapons are turned against you, Death? You have finished speaking now? Asked Yama. That's about it. A sermon is a warning, and you have been warned. Whatever your power, Sam, I see that it is at this moment proof against my death gaze. Consider yourself fortunate that I am weakened. I do indeed, for my head is about to split. Damn your eyes. One day I will try your power again, and even if it should still be proof against my own, you will fall on that day. If not by my attribute, then by my blade. If that is a challenge, I choose to defer acceptance. I suggest that you do try my words before you attempt to make it good. At this point, the sand was halfway up Yama's thighs. Sam sighed and climbed down from his perch. There is only one clear path to this rock, and I am about to follow it away from here. Now I will tell you how to gain your life, if you are not too proud. I have instructed the monks to come to my aid, here at this place, if they hear a cry for help. I told you earlier that I was not going to call for help, and that is true. If, however, you begin calling out for aid with that powerful voice of yours, they shall be here before you sink too much farther. They will bring you safely to firm ground and will not try to harm you, for such is their way. I like the thought of the god of death being saved by the monks of Buddha. Good night, Yama. I'm going to leave you now. Yama smiled. There will be another day, O Buddha, he stated. I can wait for it. Flee now as far and as fast as you can. The world is not large enough to hide you from my wrath. I will follow you, and I will teach you of the enlightenment that is pure hellfire. In the meantime, said Sam, I suggest you solicit aid of my followers, or learn the difficult art of mud breathing. He picked his way across the field, Yama's eyes burning into his back. When he reached the trail, he turned. And you may want to mention in heaven, he said, that I was called out of town on a business deal. Yama did not reply. I think I am going to make a deal for some weapons, he finished. Some rather special weapons. So when you come after me, bring your girlfriend along. If she likes what she sees, she may persuade you to switch sides. Then he struck the trail and moved away through the night, whistling, beneath a moon that was white and a moon that was golden.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook, so please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.